Turner down the stretch there. Of course, Reggie Miller on the call. All right. Reggie Miller and Kevin Harlan.
Getting tired of him, too.
Yeah, I know. I just don't want it. Like, I think he's been fine.
Yeah.
But we all know what Reggie Miller is. He's a Pacer. He's rooting for the Pacers. I've had my fill of Reggie Miller, Spike Lee, the Pacers. I've had enough of them forever. Like, I don't even see the Pacers again. I wanted the Pacers because I wanted to beat them to get to the finals.
Yeah.
I'm good on the Pacers, and I'm good without Reggie Miller. All right. I'm a little annoyed here, BT, because we did our 3-hour queue before about a half hour ago, maybe a little bit over that, and we're talking about having some fun. Which old stadium would you go back in time to watch a game at? And the genesis of that question was from a tweet that Hoff texted me last night. And he sends me this, unprompted, during the Knick game, I get a text from our producer that has the Talking Baseball Twitter talking about the plans in Pelham Park in the Bronx, blah, 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 to build a scale replica of the Polo Grounds. It looks legit. I see a producer texted to us. I don't think much of it. I bring it up today. Good talking point. Turns out that is a fake account. Hoff was talking baseball, not talking baseball. Hoff,
yes.
You want to explain yourself on this one?
Well, I apologize. I'll take the L on this one. This is an account that I actually blocked a long time ago because they put out stuff that's very legitimate. Like, they put out in this tweet that MLB PR has said that they're doing it.
So how does it come into your bleeping timeline to begin with?
It didn't. People started texting it to me.
So people were sending it to anybody that works here or no?
No. Nobody here. So many people started texting it to me, and I read it. It looked Talking Baseball. I saw MLB PR, and I just forwarded it to you. I was like, that's awesome. We started talking about it in my house. My kid gets excited. He's like, the Polo Grounds? I can't wait to go. This is Anthony. He's excited about this. So we're all getting excited about it.
He's going to have fun when they start building it.
Yeah, in 1955.
Too. Exactly. Sometimes I ignore some of the stuff that he sends, whatever. This one I wrote back. I love it. I couldn't wait to talk about it with you.
Yeah. All right, a couple things here. So you said other people sent you text. I'm going to guess it's people not in the business because it's not too far from where you live. So it was very much a civic source of pride, and it was probably flown around the neighborhood, right?
No. It was my brother-in-law. He's just a baseball fan.
All right, your brother-in-law. All right, that's number one. So let's just ball meet sack. We got ball sacked here.
Yeah.
But I will say I fell for it too, independent of him.
So you saw it?
Yeah, and I didn't bring it to the air just because I kind of forgot it was Big Knicks Day. No. I saw this yesterday. I'm like, ooh.
Right.
And to the point, I actually went down and did research and got the dimensions of the Polo Grounds.
Okay.
Because I wanted to talk to you about this. You know, left field 279, dead center 483, left center gap 450. So I was feeling skeptical. Now, I was a little, not skeptical, but you heard me say this when we were talking about it. I'm like, were they going to build it for one event? Like, it seemed confusing.
Right.
But I didn't give it too much thought. I believed it. We got play.
You gave it more thought than I did because you're like, how's this going to make sense? And I'm just like, oh my God, this is the greatest thing ever. I can go honor like my grandfather and go watch this stuff. Now, I'm mad at myself because, again, I'm trusting our producer Hoff in this spot. Do I have to take some of the responsibility for just blindly trusting his tweet or his text to
me? Has it happened before?
It has happened before.
Well, then you got to take responsibility.
Hoff, we've been down this road before. I don't recall the exact example, but there have been things where you send me some questionable stuff that you see on social media. And the J.J. McCarthy one was one thing. That wasn't a ball sack sports. That was he saw it and interpreted it like J.J. McCarthy is going to be the starter when it was not, in fact, announced that he was going to be the starter.
But I'm right anyway with that.
You turned out to be right. But you have to understand your place here.
Oh, I understand.
You're the last line of defense before it gets on the air.
That's not true. You are the last line of defense.
No,
wow.
The fuck comes out of your mouth.
No, Dove. Then what are you guys doing here? I'm sorry. Like, you have to help us out. I would not have seen that if not for Hoff, who is producing the show. Is it wrong of me to trust our producer? Like, I'm talking about the last line of defense before all that nonsense that's on social media that gets to us. That's got to be on you guys.
Yes, but to be fair, how often am I wrong? Not often.
Once is too many, and it's been multiple times.
Oh, wait a second. Before you go and kill me, has the first person who has never gotten anything wrong on the station, please speak up right now.
No, I get that, but there are different varieties of getting something wrong. Factual or incorrect information, that's where, you know.
Has no one been ball sacked before on this station?
It doesn't matter. It can't happen.
It happens all the time.
So to Doe's point, then I am just supposed to be, BT and I are supposed to be the final vet of like everything and be like, every information that we get from Hoff, we're just supposed to vet it and not...
Yeah, Doe, that's a pretty
I think
strong response.
Kate's Hoff's job is to bring to your attention things you may not have seen.
Yes.
After you hear about it, then you say, hey, let me look into it. Let me see if it's true. Let me see more details about it.
Well, I guess I learned my lesson
And what is your role, Dovey? Just since we're going through roles here.
To tell you whose role it is.
That's your role to point out?
Exactly.
God almighty.
BT and Sal on the fan, 888-808-1019. Let's get back to the Knicks. So they're
warm. Are we sure there's callers there?
Is Greg... Greg, are you, in fact, calling from Mayapack?
Are you a person, Greg?
Yes.
What's up, Greg?
Hey.
You guys are a piece of work, I'll tell you. You know,
what a circus.
Let Hoff know I got flashbacks. I used to hang out in Pelham Bay Park years ago. Some stuff we could talk about on the radio or other stuff. That's another story. But let me tell you, regarding the Knicks, they can't even inbound the friggin' ball. I mean, that's a struggle.
It's true. You're not wrong. I pointed that out. Yeah, go ahead.
You know, I mean, listen, the Knicks on paper, the starting five is more talented than Indiana. But when you watch Indiana execute, it's not even... Listen, guys, I mean, if the Knicks win the next three, I'll tell you, you talk about miracle. But Tibbs is a good coach, but he ain't a great coach.
Yep.
And that's the bottom line. But we got to be careful here, guys, because if Tibbs loses the job, who the hell are you bringing in? I mean, we've been winning 50 games a year. We're only three games from the friggin' finals. You got to be careful here. You got to go easy. I mean, you can't really just kick Tibbs out unless you got a real good plan.
Yeah. Yeah.
The only reason why, BT, I'd be... Again, I wouldn't be okay with it because I think fundamentally it would be the wrong move now or, you know, this offseason as far as moving on from Tibbs. The only thing that would maybe expedite the thought process is the fact that Malone is out there. If there weren't a known commodity with ties here who won a championship before,
yep,
then even more so I feel comfortable, hey, let's see what Tibbs can do next year. And if it doesn't work out middle of next year, you make the decision to make a change then.
Yeah, and for those who don't know, the local ties with Malone, his dad coached the Knicks as an assistant. He went to Seton Hall Prep. I believe he was born and partially raised, at least partially, in Queens. He's a New York guy. Now, the other thing, and a New Jersey guy, the thing is that he did go through a mess with Denver. I mean, you win a championship, and then you get fired a week or two before the playoffs start. I'd like to probe a little more deeply into what went awry there to make sure that there's not other issues maybe that he's bringing to the table. But, I mean, I think you got to be open to everything.
Well, if it's not him, then why would you... See, and that's why the grass is always greener. Like, yeah, get rid of Tibbs. It's going to be... Well, who's the next guy?
Well,
all these guys have been retreads and circled in different spots.
I agree.
Nick Nurse.
I'm not bringing in Nick Nurse.
Well, I'm just saying, like, a guy won a championship before, and then he goes multiple stops. Like,
like Vogel bounced around it with the championship. I would, you know, and I've said this before, I don't think that they would necessarily do business with us, you know, Pat Riley and the Knicks. Yeah, I would try to have a conversation about trading for Spoelstra. I've said that. You know, I wouldn't go Jay Wright. You know, I think Jay's great. I think some people get a little bit too wrapped up in the Nova stuff. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't do that. And I don't know that they would. But no, to me, it's Malone or, you know, maybe somebody else that I'm just not thinking about. But I'm not just getting rid of him to get rid of him. Like, he's not that much of a deterrent at all. He's much more of an asset than he is a deterrent. I want to be clear about Tom Thibodeau, how I truly view him. But it's about the next step in, like, will he evolve enough, in my opinion, to elevate the team? And my answer is no.
Rob is in Morristown. What's up, Rob?
How you doing, guys?
What's up, Robbie?
I have been a Knicks fan for ever and ever, and this is the first time I'm actually calling into the fan. And for me to call in and be motivated enough to call in, it says a lot. I love this team. And I feel like they've taken, like, I think they've taken it as far as they possibly can. And, of course, I'm thinking about next year. And the guy that I'm looking at is Giannis. I mean, he wants to come here. He's made it clear. And I think the team is as is constructed has probably gone as far as it can. So I'm thinking Cat, Bridges, a one for Giannis. I'd do that all day long, and maybe that's the beginning of a deal that we can work out.
We'll get there, Rob. I'm not trying to say that's not a good thought because I brought it up as well, but we can't fixate that on yet. The series, it's not over yet. The coffin is not sealed shut yet.
That's what the summer's for. We don't know if that's realistic or not. Let's see what the Knicks could go on a run here. Like, this is not, again, when I say I have hope, it doesn't mean that I have blind faith or blind hope as a Knicks fan in this series. I really do believe the Knicks can still come back and win this series. Two of the three games are at home. That hasn't meant much. It's going to have to mean something here. I don't think the Pacers are that much better than them. As a matter of fact, I still think the Knicks have more talent than the Pacers do. You could say the Pacers have played a cleaner series. Their pieces fit better. They execute better. Yes, but ultimately in the NBA, talent can prevail, and the Knicks have more of that. So I believe it still is possible. If there's any scenario where a team is likely to come back from 3-1, it's this. Having home court for the final, two out of the three games and going up against a team that you were favored to beat coming into the series. So it really should be 2-2 if not for an all-time choke job. Doesn't mean it's going to happen, but I do think the formula is there.
I don't think it's there as much, only because I think it's easy to forget. Like, it's not like they rolled past the Pistons. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, I know they literally are at the Eastern Conference Finals, and it's good. It's been a fun run, and hopefully it keeps going. But as other teams get better in the East with some more experience, the Orlando Magic, the Pistons, I think that a first-round loss is as doable with their defensive deficiencies as a deep run is. I think it's easy to get fooled by the run. It was not easy against Detroit.
Going back to Game 5 against Detroit, after they lost that game, I came on and said it really doesn't matter what happens from here on out because I just don't trust this team. Even if they beat Detroit in 6, great. They should have put them away. A sign of a champion would have been to put away the lesser Pistons in 5.
Yeah.
They didn't do it. Then we're getting blown out in both games, 1 and game 2 against the Celtics. They come back and win those games miraculously. Like, there was a lot to, kind of a house of cards type thing so far in the postseason, and now you're seeing it fall apart. I still believe, so logically I could understand why you'd say the series is over. It's whether it's game 5 or game 6, but I just don't believe the Pacers are that good that this is insurmountable for a team that has as much talent as the Knicks have.
I wonder how we'd feel if Carlisle was coaching this team and Thibodeau was on the other side. Like, I just wonder what they would look like. I can't prove this. I feel like the Pacers' offense wouldn't look as good and free-flowing and as sharp, and I feel like the Knicks' offense would look totally different.
Yeah, and I also wonder, though, what goes into the team building. Is Carlisle working in unison with his GM saying, this is what I want and need?
Good question.
And we know Rose and Tibbs, but, like, did Tibbs really go to Rose and say, this is what I need, get me Carl Anthony Towns and Mikal Bridges?
Well, he had to run the Cat stuff by him because he coached him. And it got a little sour there. Like, I would... I would say a little bit more than, hey, Tom, just give you a heads up, we're going to get Carl Anthony. I think it was more along the lines of, what do you think? I really believe that he showed him that respect, and he should have. Tom Thibodeau coached him.
Me too, but I don't know if Tibbs went seeking Cat.
I don't think he did.
And not just Cat personally, but like that being the missing piece, that type of player, or Bridges. I think it's more Leon Rose in unison with Tibbs and going over how they would try to make it work, but clearly, it just has not worked or clicked or whatever you want to use in the first year where it's been a mishmash. I don't know what their offensive plan is. So to your point, I do feel like at least with Carlisle, you're watching a team that has a clear direction and plan.
Yep. By the way, Knicks, what do you think they are to win the series here? Just looked it up.
They got to be plus 300, 400?
Plus 190.
What?
Kind of low. Saying there's a chance. Those odds are not as high as I thought.
I would not bet it at that because you're not getting good value.
I'm not saying I don't love the value either, right. But what are they telling us there? That it wouldn't be nuts if the Knicks messed around, came back, and won the series?
That's in line with my gut feel. I wonder how much of that has to do with home court or just that they think these two teams are evenly matched, and who's to say that the Knicks couldn't rattle off 3 in a row?
Well, if it was based on home court, they should be plus 570 at this point. Right. They ain't winning there.
That's exactly right. Hoff's saying they're minus 200 game 5, and you said it was what, minus 4.5?
Minus 4.5, yeah.
I mean, pretty big favorites, or favorites at least. Minus 200 straight up is pretty decent to win.
Yeah, you're laying a couple of hundred to win one. I get it.